Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We're calling for common sense gun legislation. We were calling for a ban of assault weapons, and the response of this body is to assault democracy.
The Republican-controlled House in Tennessee has expelled two black Democratic lawmakers after they joined a student-led protest in the state capitol demanding gun control following last week's school shooting in Nashville that killed six, including 3 9-year-olds. We'll speak to one of the expelled lawmakers, Justin Jones. Then to the Middle East. Israel's bombed southern Lebanon and Gaza as tensions soar in the region after Israeli forces repeatedly raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque, beating and tear-gassing Palestinian worshippers during Ramadan. Calls are growing, finally, for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to be impeached following a blockbuster investigation by ProPublica.
Our investigation found that Justice Thomas accepted lavish luxury travel from a billionaire businessman named Harlan Crow over the course of many years. To give one example, this businessman, Harlan Crow, flew Justice Thomas on his private jet from the United States to Indonesia a few years ago, where they were met by the businessman's super yacht, staffed by private chefs and other waiters and other staff. And they went island hopping in Indonesia for about a week and a half.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military launched airstrikes overnight in southern Lebanon and the Gaza Strip after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised that Israel's enemies would pay a price for any aggression. The strikes followed rocket attacks on Israel from Gaza and from Lebanon in the largest such barrage since 2006. Two Israeli women reportedly sustained minor injuries. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza said Israeli airstrikes hit a children's hospital east of Gaza, terrorizing medical workers and patients but causing no injuries. In the occupied West Bank, gunmen opened fire on a vehicle near an illegal settlement near Jericho, killing two sisters and injuring a third person, their mother. Meanwhile, tensions were high at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied East Jerusalem ahead of Friday prayers after Israeli soldiers were filmed beating and tear-gassing Palestinian worshippers earlier this week during the holy month of Ramadan. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Mohammed Okurd, Palestine correspondent for The Nation magazine. More than 3,300 Afghan men and women employed by the United Nations remained idled for a second straight day Thursday after the Taliban ordered a ban on women's staff in Afghanistan. This is Amina Mohammed, the UN's Deputy Secretary General.
It's a clear violation of our fundamental human rights of women. I have met our female staff members, and they're essential for UN's work, including in the delivery of life-saving assistance. And some national colleagues have already experienced restrictions on their movements.
This comes as the UN warns a record 28.3 million people in Afghanistan are in need of assistance this year, with 6 million of them one step away from famine. Meanwhile, the Biden administration's released its long-anticipated report on the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan in 2021. The report found U.S. officials should have begun an evacuation sooner, but determined actions taken by former President Trump set the stage for chaos as the Taliban overran the capital, Kabul. In the United States, the Tennessee House of Representatives voted Thursday to expel two Democratic members for joining peaceful protests against gun violence inside the state capitol last week. Justin Jones of Nashville and Justin Pearson of Memphis, both African-American from Tennessee's two largest cities. Jones made an impassioned case against the proceedings before the Republican supermajority voted 72 to 25 to expel him.
We called for you all to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy. That is why the nation is watching you today. And I say to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that no matter what you vote, you have the votes, but you will not be victorious because there are generations of young people who see what is going on.
They were called the Tennessee Three, but the third Democratic representative, Gloria Johnson of Knoxville, who is white, narrowly survived a vote on her expulsion. Thursday's extraordinary proceedings were interrupted at times by thousands of protesters who packed the House gallery and flooded the Capitol grounds to support the lawmakers and their efforts to stem gun violence in the wake of the March 27th mass shooting at Covenant School in Nashville, which left three adults and three nine-year-old students dead. President Biden condemned the expulsions as shocking, undemocratic, and without precedent. After headlines, we'll go to Nashville to speak with one of the expelled state representatives, Justin Jones. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is facing renewed calls for his impeachment after a ProPublica investigation revealed he failed to report frequent luxury trips paid for by the GOP billionaire Harlan Crow. For more than two decades, Thomas frequently joined Crow aboard his private yacht, jet, at his private estates and at Bohemian Grove, an exclusive all-male retreat in California. The junkets likely violate a law passed after Watergate requiring justices and other federal officials to disclose most gifts. New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted in response, "This is beyond party or partisanship. This degree of corruption is shocking, almost cartoonish. Thomas must be impeached," she said. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Justin Elliott, who co-authored the ProPublica investigation. The Biden administration proposed new regulations under Title IX Thursday to make it illegal for schools to impose blanket bans on transgender students playing on sports teams that align with their gender identity. Schools could, however, still bar transgender students from participating in competitive high school and college sports if deemed necessary to maintain, quote, fairness in competition, unquote, after evaluating the sport, the level of competition, and the greater education level involved. 20 states currently have blanket bans on trans student athletes. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court ruled Thursday in favor of a 12-year-old transgender girl in West Virginia, allowing her to continue competing on her school's girls' track and cross-country teams while a lawsuit over a state ban proceeds. Idaho Republican Governor Brad Little has signed a bill criminalizing the act of helping someone under the age of 18 obtain an abortion in another state without parental consent. It's the first so-called abortion trafficking law passed in the U.S. and carries penalties of 2 to 5 years in prison. Alexis McGill Johnson, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, said, quote, "The law will isolate young people and put them in danger, including those who are in abusive situations," she said. Meanwhile, in New Mexico, Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed a bill shielding abortion providers from prosecution, disciplinary action, or extradition attempts by other states. A warning to our audience, the following story contains graphic footage and counts of police violence. The Justice Department has opened a federal civil rights probe into the death of Delano Martin, a black 17-year-old who was fatally shot by a U.S. Park police officer in Washington, D.C. last month. The investigation was announced after Tuesday's release of police body cam video showing the March 18th shooting. The video shows officers investigating what they called a suspicious vehicle with Martin sleeping behind the wheel. An officer opens the rear driver's side door of the SUV and issues the command, "Police, don't move." Martin accelerates with an officer in the back seat. The officer then fires multiple times before the SUV crashes into the side of a home. A medical examiner later reported Martin was shot 6 times and died instantly. His mother, Tara Martin, spoke to reporters on Wednesday.
"I want the officer name released immediately. I want him arrested. I want him to stop getting paid while he murdered my son and still home with his family, not doing no work and getting paid for murder."
Sudan's military rulers have once again delayed signing an agreement that would transition the nation from military to civilian rule. Thursday's postponement prompted a new round of protests in the capital, Khartoum, and other cities. The agreement would allow for elections and the formation of a civilian government after over a year of military rule following the October 2021 coup. Security forces fired tear gas at massive crowds as protesters were heard chanting, "No militia can rule a country." Protesters also marked the fourth anniversary of a 2019 sit-in that led to the overthrow of the longtime authoritarian President Omar al-Bashir.
For the martyrs who have given their lives for this country, the protest will reach its end, God willing, and we will keep going until we reach a civilian democratic rule and without the return of any totalitarian system in Sudan again.
Many have criticized the deal for excluding the establishment of a transitional justice system or the implementation of key military reforms. And Oklahoma's attorney general is asking for the murder conviction of death row prisoner Richard Glossop to be vacated in a decades-long case in which Glossop narrowly escaped execution three times. In 1997, 19-year-old maintenance worker Justin Sneed killed the owner of a budget motel in Oklahoma. He admitted to the murder but accused Glossop, the motel's manager, of orchestrating it, allowing Sneed to avoid the death penalty. Glossop has always maintained his innocence. Oklahoma's attorney general cited evidence in a new report that shows Sneed, who was a heavy drug user at the time of the murder, gave false testimony about his psychiatric condition and the state's failure to turn over key evidence. An appeals court must now decide whether to vacate Glossop's conviction and order a new trial. Glossop is currently scheduled to be executed May 18th. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Tennessee, where a Republican supermajority in the state legislature carried out its threat Thursday to expel two black Democratic lawmakers from their seats for peacefully protesting gun violence on the House floor last week, breaking with decorum as thousands rallied outside the Capitol to demand gun control days after the Covenant Elementary School shooting in Nashville that killed six, including 3 9-year-olds. Justin Jones of Nashville and Justin Pearson of Memphis are both African-American and from Tennessee's two largest cities. They were part of the Tennessee Three. But the vote to expel their white colleague, Gloria Johnson, who joined them in solidarity, narrowly failed. In a minute, we'll speak with Jones. But first, we bring you some of the historic scenes that unfolded as Justin Jones and his colleagues defended themselves and supporters looked on from a packed gallery but stayed quiet so they could witness the proceedings. This is Representative Jones facing questioning from his Republican colleague and laying out his defense.
I was shocked to have the Speaker of the House condemn mothers and children and grandmothers and parents and concerned citizens, clergy, lie on them and say that they were violent insurrectionists. And I think that he owes the people of Tennessee an apology. Because at no point was there violence. At no point did we encourage violence. In fact, what we were doing was calling for the end of gun violence that is terrorizing our children day after day after day, and all we offer are moments of silence. It is in that spirit of speaking for my constituents, of being a representative of the people, that I approached this well on last Thursday, breaking a House rule, but exercising moral obedience to my constitutional responsibility to be a voice for my people, to be a voice for the Tennesseans who you choose not to listen to because of those NRA checks that are so hefty in your campaign funds. There comes a time where people get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
One of the questions that keeps coming back to my mind that I hope maybe you can answer is when you say, no action, no peace, what do you mean? What does Representative Jones mean by no peace? Thank you.
Representative Jones.
Thank you. I would invite my colleague from Putnam County to join any protest where that is a very familiar chant that usually goes, no justice, no peace. And I believe the roots of it lie in something that Martin Luther King stated,
that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it is the presence of justice. That's what I was saying, is that until we act, there will be no peace in our communities. In addition, I would like to read some context about that chant that comes from Jeremiah 6:14. I'll read the New Living Translation. It says, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace where there is no peace. I'll go to the New International Version. They dress the wound of my people as though it was not serious. Peace, 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 they say, where there is no peace. That's what the chant means, is that we have no peace, and that until we act, there will be no peace for the thousands of children who came here demanding that we act, who are afraid that if they're in school, they will be gunned down because you have passed laws to make it easier to get a gun than it is to get health care. In this state, you passed laws that make it easier to get a gun than it is to vote in this state. And so that there will be no peace in Tennessee until we act on this proliferation of weapons of war in our community. That is the peace I was talking about. That is what I was saying. Representative Williams, thank you for your question.
After his questioning by Republican Ryan Williams, Tennessee Republican lawmakers gave Representative Justin Jones 5 minutes before their vote. This is how he concluded.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, I want to say that you have the power, you have the votes to do what you're going to do today. But I want to let you know that when I came to this well, I was fighting for your children and grandchildren too. But to those who here will cast a vote for expulsion, I was fighting for your children too. To live free from the terror of school shootings and mass shootings. When I walked up to this well on last Thursday, I was thinking about the thousands of students who were outside demanding that we do something. In fact, many of their signs said, do something, do something, do something. That was their only ask of us, is to respond to their grief, to respond to a traumatized community. But in response to that, the first action of this body is to expel members for calling for common sense gun legislation. We were calling for a ban of assault weapons, and the response of this body is to assault democracy. This is a historic day for Tennessee, but it may mark a very dark day for Tennessee, because it will signal to the nation that there is no democracy in this state. It will signal to the nation that if it can happen here in Tennessee, it's coming to your state next. And that is why the nation is watching us, what we do here. My prayer to you is that even if you expel me, that you still act to address the crisis of mass shootings. Because if I'm expelled from here, I'll be back out there with the people every week demanding that you act. I pray that we uphold our oath on this floor. Because, colleagues, the world is watching.
Pursuant to Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution of the State of Tennessee, I hereby declare Representative Justin Jones of the 57th Representative District expelled from the House of Representatives of the 113th Assembly of the State of Tennessee.
That was Speaker Cameron Sexton announcing the expulsion of Tennessee State Representative Justin Jones from the State House Thursday in a party line vote. Republicans also voted to expel his fellow freshman, another 27-year-old Black Democratic Representative Justin Pearson, who also faced questions as he defended himself. This is part of Representative Pearson's exchange with Republican Representative Andrew Farmer.
That's why you're standing there, because of that temper tantrum that day. For that yearning to have attention. That's what you wanted. Well, you're getting it now. So I just advise you, if you want to conduct business in this house, file a bill. Be recognized, stand there and present it, and pass it. All you got to do is pass a bill.
Representative Pearson.
Now, you all heard that. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about even gun violence. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? The reason that I believe the sponsor of this legislation, of this resolution, spoke that way is because he's comfortable doing it. Because there's a decorum that allows it. There's a decorum that allows you to belittle people. We didn't belittle nobody. What we said was that we cannot be beholden to gun lobbyists, to the NRA. We can't be beholden to organizations that don't want to see us make progress on gun violence. We can't be beholden to folks who don't want to see us help save our communities and protect them. But there's something else I think that the sponsor of this resolution has alluded to, and there were a few things here that you said that I want to address. He called a peaceful protest a temper tantrum. Is what's happening outside these doors by Tennesseans who want to see change a temper tantrum? Is Sarah, whose son Noah was at the Covenant School, he survived, he's 5 years old, and she showed up here demanding that we do something about gun violence, is that a temper tantrum? Is elevating our voices for justice or change a temper tantrum? But there's something in the decorum of this body that makes it okay to say that folks who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speak up for the hundreds of thousands of people collectively that we represent. There's something in the decorum of this body that says it's okay to call that a temper tantrum, to call people we disagree with on the issues, to say that all they want is attention. But I'll tell you what, I don't personally want attention. What I want is attention on the issue of gun violence. But instead, we're here with the resolution you put up talking about expelling me for advocating for ending gun violence in the state of Tennessee. I'd much rather be talking with you about legislation to protect Shelby County and to protect our communities than talking about why we don't deserve to have our representation lost because we came to the
camps
house saying we've got to do something. That's what I would like to be doing. And so you brought attention or tried to bring attention to me, but I want to turn the attention to the people. The people who will never be able to throw a temper tantrum for gun violence. You know, the Larry Thorns, the Catherine Kuntzes, the Mike Hills, the Cynthia Peaks, the Evelyn Decals, the Haley Scruggs, the William Kinneys, who will never have a chance to throw what you call a temper tantrum for justice, for gun reform, for the ending of gun violence. They'll never have a chance. Because we haven't taken our oath seriously. Because we don't take people who we disagree with seriously. We tell them, you just are throwing a temper tantrum.
Ultimately, Tennessee Republicans voted to expel Democratic Representative Justin Pearson from the House as well. At one point during his final remarks, the official TV feed for the Tennessee House continued to wrongly identify him as his colleague, Justin Jones, as he was giving his final statement. Pearson ended by saying the struggle had just begun.
Oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes. Resurrection is a promise, and it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that came out of the cotton fields. It's a prophecy that came out of the lynching tree. It's a prophecy that still lives in each and every one of us in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be. So I've still got hope because I know we are still here, and we will never quit. Yeah.
out of order.
During the votes, thousands of supporters rallied in the halls of the state capitol and outside when a reporter asked Democratic Representative Gloria Johnson why she thought there was a difference between her outcome. She was not expelled, but her colleagues were. This was her response.
I will answer your question. It might have to do with the color of our skin.
Representative Gloria Johnson was a teacher at Central High School in Knoxville that faced a school shooting more than a decade ago. At the end of the night, the lawmakers, now known as the Tennessee Three, stood together again, and Johnson vowed to work to get her expelled colleagues back in the House.
And I just cannot say enough about how proud I am, always and forever, to stand with these two brilliant young men who connect with their community, who really listen and understand the voters in their districts and across this state, who can tell everybody in the most powerful way. They spoke to our members. They won't admit it, I don't think, but they spoke to those hearts. I could see it on faces.
Yeah.
But still, what's the difference where I made it through and these two young men did not make it through? I think you're right. We know.
We know why.
But here's the difference. I think we might have these two young men back very soon. And that's
Representative Gloria Johnson standing next to the Justins, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, who had just been expelled by the Tennessee State Legislature. Well, we're joined right now by Justin Jones, expelled Democratic Tennessee State Representative of Nashville. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us again after this marathon day. Your feelings yesterday as you stood with such passion yet composure, dressing down your colleagues who are questioning you, then expelling you. Justin Jones.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again, Amy. It's good to be here.
So your feelings right now, how is it possible? I mean, it's not like you were hired to work at a store and then you were fired. You were elected by the people of Nashville. So how is it that a Republican supermajority can fire you, can expel you?
Gotcha. Sorry, I couldn't hear your other question. But, I mean, I'm feeling, you know, when it happened, it didn't feel real. I didn't, you know, if I didn't know what happened to me, I would think it was 1963 and not 2023, that a predominantly, almost entirely white Republican caucus expelled the two youngest black lawmakers, not for any unethical or criminal behavior, but for our First Amendment activity and for standing and doing our job to speak up for our constituents and to speak up particularly for young people who are terrified of these weapons of war on our streets. And so I'm feeling I'm tired, but more so I'm tired of the injustice that rules the state capitol. But I think that what they've done, though, is the complete opposite. They may have won yesterday, but they have not won the moral narrative as we go forward, that they thought by expelling us, they would silence us, they would silence our movements that we're a part of. But in fact, they've amplified it because the nation can see how racist they are. The nation can see how retaliatory and absurd and authoritarian they are. And so I think that is what gives me hope, is that they tried to kick us out. But instead, they put a spotlight on themselves for their shameful policies that make it easier to get a gun than it is to get health care in this state.
You know, we spoke to you a few days ago. I was going to say Representative Jones, but you are Representative Jones. The question is, will you be just immediately reinstated next week? They're talking about your behavior as you spoke out from the well of the House of Representatives in Tennessee. But I wanted to ask you about Republican State Representative Justin Lafferty. We showed this a few days ago as well, of Knoxville, who pushed you and grabbed your phone as you filmed the interaction. He attacked you. Can you talk about, was he disciplined for violent